Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Breaking news, a federal jury finds a scuba dive boat captain criminally negligent in the deaths of 34 people killed in a fire aboard the vessel in 2019, the deadliest maritime disaster in recent U.S. history. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Los Angeles confirms Jerry Boylan has been found guilty of one count of misconduct or neglect of ship officer. He could get 10 years behind bars. At his civil fraud trial, former President Trump testifies, trying to discredit those involved with the case and lashing out at the judge. The former president is accused of illegally inflating his net worth for financial gain. CBS's Robert Costa.
Trump and his sons have blamed their accounting firm for any errors. When asked about the charges, Trump erupted, calling questions about the valuation of Mar-a-Lago disgraceful.
The numbers don't lie. And Mr. Trump obviously can engage in all of these distractions.
But amid the clashes, Trump notably acknowledged that he has a hand in his property's evaluations, saying, I would look at them, I would see them, and I would maybe on occasion have some suggestions. Asked by the state attorney whether he ever thought the values were off, Trump said yes, on occasion, both high and low.
Israel's military says it has now divided Gaza City in two. And Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu tells ABC News that his country will take overall security responsibility of the Gaza Strip for an indefinite period after its war with Hamas. CBS's Deborah Pato with more.
Israel's fiery bombardment of Gaza continues. As calls for a ceasefire grow louder, with people around the world horrified at the staggering civilian death toll,
which the Gaza Health Ministry puts at more than 10,000. After 116 days, still no deal between striking union actors and the Hollywood studios, there is one big issue that appears the two sides cannot agree on. CBS's Matt Piper.
Tuesday marks day 117 of the SAG-AFTRA actors strike. The studios gave what they called their best and final offer on Friday. Monday morning, the union said it formally responded, adding there's some essential items where both sides are not in agreement, including AI. That has been one of the main sticking points since the start of the talks in June.
A second Denver area police officer has been acquitted in the 2019 death of Elijah McClain, who, while walking home from a store, was stopped by police, put in a neck hold, and injected with ketamine. The 23-year-old black man died. The jury has found Aurora officer Nathan Woodyard not guilty of homicide and manslaughter. Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser says they're disappointed but accept the verdict.
We remained undeterred in our pursuit of accountability and justice for Elijah McClain.
This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Milwaukee nonprofit has to return $800,000 of COVID relief money after it was found that the money was misused. CRC Employment and Entrepreneurial Services was awarded nearly $3 million in total. Some of that money was spent on an over $2,000 bowling party and paychecks to founder Cynthia Brown and her family. The organization also paid nearly $7,000 to State Senator Lena Taylor for work she did as an attorney. Taylor denies ever receiving any money. The group has 45 days to return the money. Republicans will have a top-tier candidate for U.S. Senate in a month or two. That's according to Wisconsin Republican Party Chairman Brian Schimming. He says that Tammy Baldwin is not guaranteed re-election. Democratic Party Chairman Ben Wickler says he expects that Republican to be Madison businessman Eric Hovde. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Craig Counsell to the Chicago Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Craig Counsell agreeing to a new contract as the manager of the Chicago Cubs worth $40 million over the next 5 years, nearly $8 million per year, making him the highest paid manager in Major League Baseball history. Now, last week, the Brewers had said that they would match any offer for Counsell as he met with the Cleveland Guardians and then the New York Mets. The Cubs have now fired their manager, David Ross, after 4 years. He still had 1 year left on his contract. The Cubs issuing a press release thanking Ross for his services. Craig Counsell, who managed the crew for 9 seasons and led them to the postseason, season 5 times, had this to say after losing last month to Arizona in the playoffs.
This was a great team. And I think I told the guys, I said, you know, as you move forward in your careers, you should want to create teams like this. You should use your leadership to create an atmosphere like this. This was a team you want to be on.
That's Craig Counsell with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows around 39 tonight under mainly cloudy skies. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. High of 48 tomorrow, 42 tomorrow night. Chance for scattered showers.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 57 degrees.
The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
And help farmers fight climate change and diversify by harvesting renewable energy.
We're investing nearly $20 billion to help farmers and ranchers tackle climate crisis through climate-smart agriculture and cover crops, nutrient management, reducing greenhouse gas emissions while improving overall health of the soil and the water.
Did you hear that, farmers and ranchers? Did you hear who's actually helping you out? For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks, Mastodons, and sites still known as Twitter at Green News Report.
Are you tired of think tank approved corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. Former ex-president Donald Trump testifying today in New York, and it was every bit of the giant S show that you knew it was going to be. It was going to be a temper tantrum. It was going to be a circus. And yes, it was all those things. It was all of the things that someone who has no respect for the law, has no respect for our country. It's exactly the victim card that you knew he had to play because it's his only defense. His only defense is, they're persecuting me. Poor, poor, pitiful me. Look what they're doing to me. And I love the punchline. And I'm doing this for you. What a political spin. Incredible stuff. And this is what happens when you have people who refuse to believe that the law applies to them. So, you know, when the judge says, you know, hey, you know, restrain your client, to any normal person in this country, the judge goes, hey, you better cut it out. Or the lawyer goes, hey, you better cut it out. The judge is going to, you know, bad things. Not this guy, not these people. Again, the normal rules with these people who hate democracy and feel they're above the law do not apply. And look, it plays. It plays well to every person who ever felt that the system was bad to them, that they were ever wronged by the man. He's their champion because he's taking them on. Look, you had this judge say to the lawyer, I beseech you to control him if you can. If you can't, I will, he said. And then proceeded to not. And just gave in and allowed Trump to just rant and rave and, you know, attack him, attack the prosecutor, attack because that's what Trump does. And the interesting thing is Trump admitted that he had influence on the valuation of the properties, even though he's there's all them over there. He admitted, but it doesn't matter. This isn't about facts. This isn't about the law. This isn't about any of that. For Trump world, this is all about, got to play the victim. Got to raise money because, hey, I got the emails today. Send as little as a dollar. We need your money. Because you can own the libs. If you send us the money, you will own those Democrats, Marxists, socialists, whatever. You get the list. And nobody in our mainstream media is bothering to, I don't know, pay attention to do anything with it. There is one lone voice. There is one lone voice fighting the good fight to show just how crazy Trump is. And that's Ron DeSantis. He released 21 video clips showing Trump and his cognitive decline, according to Ron DeSantis. And look, I think, you know, Trump's been cognitively declined for quite some time. But you got the one guy saying that he's messed up. He's unfit. And not because of all the crimes and all the... No, it's because he blathers on like an idiot. And all the while, what you've got is you've got all this chaos that comes with the Trump machine. And today you got Joe Biden just showing up doing the job. They announced a $16.4 billion investment in rail on the Northeast Corridor. So you might actually get from, you know, I don't know, my house to Boston, you know, in under a month. Move us into the 20th century, hopefully, and even into the 21st century with some sound investment. It might be a good thing. If only we had a president who showed up and did his job. Wouldn't that be great? Oh, yeah, we got one, and everyone seems to hate him. The polling numbers, not good, and we're going to talk about that. So you got the Trump thing, and that's, you know, you expected that. But over the weekend, I had, oh, man, my email went crazy over the weekend. And it's something that I had nothing to do with. Understand, I am a Teamster member. I am not in any way, shape, or form associated with the leadership at the IBT. So let me just, first and foremost, just to get this on the record, I am not a spokesman for the Teamsters Union. I am a member. Secondly, I don't know Sean O'Brien well enough to say I know what he's thinking. I don't. And three, they don't return my phone calls. So I don't know what they're thinking. So that's on the record. I want to be very clear there because I don't want the IBT upset at me any more than they already are. If they are, who knows, because they don't return a phone call. But over the weekend, I got hit with a bunch of emails because evidently Sean O'Brien met with Josh Hawley and gave him the guided tour of the Teamsters headquarters in Washington, D.C. And there were smiling pictures on social media of them shaking hands and yucking it up. And as I tweeted out, there's nothing to be concerned about here. You talk to people. You want to try and win people over to your side because ultimately Sean O'Brien is about getting the best deal and the best, you know, legislation and the best opportunities for members like me. And for working people in general. So when these photos came out, people are losing their minds. So my response was, I'm not worried about a calm down. maybe I'll worry if it's Mark Wayne Mullen. And that felt like a lead balloon, but it was what it was. So I got people who were going, hey, you know, are the Teamsters going to pull the 1980 and support a Republican for president? I don't know what their plans are. I doubt it because Trump was so bad and Biden on labor issues has been so very, very good. I can't imagine, but also understand in 1980, the Teamsters didn't really have a choice because Carter signed trucking deregulation. And it was Reagan who then used that signature to destroy the trucking industry. So, you know, it was a kill me now or kill me later. But that's what happened. I got another person saying, you know, why is O'Brien talking with Josh Hawley? He has a 12% AFL-CIO voting record on worker issues. And that's true. He's got a crummy, crummy record on working issues. But you talk to your enemies. I mean, this is the reality. You have to talk to your enemies because maybe you can swing them to your side. Not on every issue, But on some things that, that may be in their interest, that they understand their constituents, it's important to them. There are a lot of union members, a lot of Teamsters in Missouri. I've got friends there. So I don't have a problem with talking to the enemy. I think it's important that you do, because then maybe they don't want to attack you. Sounds interesting to me. Another one said, you know, doesn't O'Brien know Josh Hawley and the GOP hate workers, especially union workers? I hope so. I gotta think he does. I gotta think he's looking at the same voting records that I'm looking at. Another one said, OMG, WTF, Teamsters courting crazy Republicans. Democrats are in trouble. And that's the one that got me thinking. Because I've said for a very long time, if the Republican Party, not the crazies, but the party as a whole, stopped being anti-worker, stopped pursuing the whole no rights at work agenda, that Democrats would in fact be in trouble. Because understand, the Democratic coalition that was the Obama coalition, that was what Biden used and what is touted as this great thing, what this great thing was is hard to keep together. You know, the glue is hard to keep stuck, and managing that big tent is difficult because everyone has their silo. And I've said from the very beginning that reuniting this country means reunionizing this country, getting people to understand their economic connectiveness. And maybe, who knows, maybe this is what O'Brien was doing. I don't know. Again, they don't return our call. But you may remember the AFL-CIO did a campaign several years ago. Even had a cute little one-minute ad that no one saw. It was called Work Binds Us. It was so hard-hitting that the Chamber of Commerce issued a press release, a scathing, scathing press release that said, we agree. Yeah, they agree. And it was, you know, work is what pulls us together. Work is what, you know, being tired. It was this whole thing that, you know, unity, exactly what I've been talking about. And I fear that because the Democrats are so splintered and so easily to be divided and pitted against each other, that it's going to be a rough 2024. I got friends who think, oh, it's a cakewalk. Biden's going to win. I don't know. In the latest Siena College poll that just came out, it ain't good. Because this election is going to come down to six states. All the other ones are decided before a vote is even cast. Virtually all of them, there are going to be no surprises. But it's going to come down to Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. That's what it's going to come down to. And right now, according to this Siena College poll, Trump's winning five of the six. Only Wisconsin, Biden is winning, and that's only by 2 points. In fact, you know, Biden's losing by 4 points overall. Now, I know we're early. These polls are usually skewed. There's a whole bunch of, but the messaging coming out of this is not good. And for me, we're in a moment right now with everything going on in the world where, again, division, pitted against each other. For me, I think you got to come back to the bread and butter. Get back to the pulling people together on the work front. And that comes back to O'Brien. There should be some courting of the unions. And look, a number of unions have already come out and endorsed. But this is one of those moments where you're going to need organized labor to help stir the ship. Because Biden has an incredible record to run on those fronts. But I want to hear your thoughts. Are you concerned? Would you be concerned with O'Brien meeting with Josh Hawley? Or is it just, hey, it's politics. You're talking to people. It's what we do. We hammer out agreements. We find common ground. It's where I'm at. I want to hear where you are. Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Going to take a quick break. Right back with your thoughts. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Good talk.
The We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425. Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Let's quick go to the phones. We've got Kurt on line one. Kurt, how you doing today?
Hey, good evening, Rick, and thank you for calling. Thank you for answering. Hey, first of all, real quick, Ohio, big election tomorrow. I already voted. Hopefully it'll turn out the way I want it to, and that'll give Frank LaRose not one, but two more defeats to add to his 2023 defeats that he's had this year. So that'll give him three. Going into the general, or going into the election next year against Sherrod Brown. So that's the first thing.
Right.
Second thing, Trump's little tantrum. If he thinks that his people believe that he's doing this for them, I got news for his supporters. You ain't Trump, and you mouth off the way Trump does, that two-tiered justice system isn't going to work for you. You'll be sitting in pretrial detention, pending trial. So you're nowhere near being what Donald Trump is. Donald Trump is very much benefiting from the two-tiered justice system at this point. The next thing, Teamsters. I don't see too much of a problem with the Teamsters talking to Josh Hawley. I would just be a little cautious, maybe keep the antennas up. But you know what? It could be worse, too. Just think, back in 1970 in the Akron Rubber Bowl, they had the Ohio National Guard there in April of 1970 trying to break up a Teamster strike, too. So, you know, it could be worse in that situation.
No, good point.
So you know, that's your labor history for the night, kid.
Appreciate it.
So that's pretty much it. I'll keep it short so you can get people on. But
thanks.
Anywho, doing a great job. And everyone in Ohio, real quickly, the polls. One last thing, the polls. David Pakman is on after your show on WCPT, and he actually explains those polls that you were talking about, and it doesn't seem as horrible as what it says in print. And I can't do it justice in how to explain it, but people tune in after Rick's show to the David Pakman show, and it's like the first or second story that he talks about those polls.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Kurt. Thanks so much. Let's move down the line to, I guess we got Alice on line two. Alice, how are we doing?
Saying, how's that?
Predictable.
Yes. So what I wanted to say was, you know, I read an article, it was in this evening's paper in the Washington Post about that, and I thought, how in the name of all that's holy can Trump be leading in these polls? Which leads me to believe either they're contacting people who are totally insane.
That's part of it.
Yeah. Or they're not contacting enough people. Or last, the whole darn state of Pennsylvania has become Republican, and I'm not buying that either. I will admit, my little royal county is decidedly turned red, but anyone that it just boggles the mind, all these trials, 91 indictments, anyone listening to him, it's a word salad. He makes absolutely no sense, and I am just flabbergasted.
Well, it also has a lot to do with the inflation that people are struggling, and things haven't gotten better for a lot of people, and they're angry. And they're going to lash out at the administration. If this were 3 months before the election, I would be more concerned than I am.
I think things will be, you know, fine. We'll see. But it's still, people got to get out and vote. I appreciate the thoughts, Alice.
Have a good evening.
As always, good stuff. Let's go to Steve on line three. Steve, how we doing, man?
Fine, thank you. And I think you're correct. I didn't catch everything there, but every election turns on the kitchen table issues, you know? I mean, Carville wasn't the first to say it, but, you know, it's the economy, stupid.
Yep.
And in the end, that's what people vote on. I mean, we like to think that we vote on social issues. We like to think that we vote on what's going on in terms of foreign policy. In the end, it comes down to, you know, how much are we making? Can we afford to pay our bills? Can we afford to take care of the family? And what does our future look like? And let's face it, as Americans, we're not terribly good at the whole notion of economics. We somehow think that we elect an emperor rather than a president. And therefore, however the economy is doing at the time that someone is president, it falls upon them.
Yep.
They have to take responsibility for it. You know, but the reality is that this is why we have campaigns. You know, so yes, 2 years out, a year out, yes, the polls don't look very favorable. You want to know what to do about it? Go back and look at Barack Obama a year before he faced Mitt Romney. What did his poll numbers look like?
Almost the exact same.
Exactly. So, you know, with the exception of George Bush Jr., because of 9/11 and the Iraq War, people tend to galvanize around a president. You know, virtually everyone who's running in their second term, you know, they're down a couple of years out, a year out. Why? Because they haven't begun their campaigns. They're actually working. And instead of campaigning, and campaigning is about the process of telling the American people what you've done for them and what your vision is for the country, what you plan to do for them. So when Biden gets out there and starts explaining to people that, yeah, this is what the infrastructure bill has done for you. This is what we've done to lower inflation. And inflation continues to come down. And what we've done to ensure labor rights. And all of these other things that we can talk about in terms of the accomplishments of for the working class in this country. I think you're going to see a big shift. That, and of course, Donald Trump is his own worst enemy. I don't understand either as to how people can continue to support him, but I have no doubt that moving forward, it's not as if his support's going to go up. It's only going to go down. The polling that was done this past week indicates that, yes, Americans don't love Joe Biden. It turns out they loved Donald Trump even less. So if there was some alternative third candidate, Americans claim that they would support them, but that's only a hypothetical. That's what I call the Jed Bartlett presidency. Yeah. You know, we all like to think that yes, Jed Bartlett would actually run for president. There would be somebody like that. It was terribly intelligent and understood everything that goes on in the world and could govern by himself. Okay, that person doesn't exist. So in our minds, we like to think that they do, though. So it's going to come down to Joe Biden or Donald Trump. And honestly, as people understand, you know, there's only about 5 swing states, and the things that you've articulated are the reasons why these places are swing states still. I mean, there was a time when nobody questioned Michigan as that would be a swing state. Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. I mean, you know, these were firmly Democratic camps. But again, as labor has been eroded in this country in terms of the labor movement, a lot of these people were never, you know, socially liberal to begin with. So this idea that they were just going to continue to vote with us is absurd. The Republican Party came along and said, well, heck, you know, Democrats aren't doing anything for you. That union gig is gone. Hey, look, I'll let you keep your gun and I'll make sure that they continue to pray in your kid's school and vote for us. And by the way, trickle-down economics, it'll get to you someday.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what they offer them.
We just haven't done it enough, Steve. We haven't deregulated enough. Exactly. We haven't cut taxes low enough. We haven't offshored enough fat manufacturing for it to really, really help. So we got to do it some more.
Yeah, because the Gilded Age was so wonderful for Americans, you know, that over half of Americans lived hand-to-mouth, you know, working 15 hours a day, six days a week. Yes, that's exactly what we need to return to.
No, excellent point. Appreciate it, Steve. Thanks so much.
Take care.
You know, and look, you know, this idea that Biden is going to be the candidate, you know, I have people wishing and hoping that he wouldn't be. I think he's going to be ultimately, because I think he's done enough to earn a second go. But this is why you're seeing, you know, Gavin Newsom and J.B. Pritzker, you know, cutting checks to candidates in mayoral races in Charleston, South Carolina. This is the reason that you're seeing them ramping up their profiles, which is why you see, you know, Newsom and DeSantis debating, and you see, you know, the Chinese stuff. They're hyping themselves up. Now they're saying, you know, for, you know, 2028 run, you know, cuz down the road. But you know, they're kind of angling for, you know, what ifs. Because it's not assured. I don't know that it's assured. And look, the Republicans have shown us that they will.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
CBS News Special Report. It's the deadliest maritime disaster in recent U.S. history. In 2019, a scuba dive boat named the Conception was anchored off the Channel Islands, 25 miles south of Santa Barbara, California, when it went up in flames, killing 34 people. A federal jury has just found scuba dive boat Captain Jerry Boylan was criminally negligent. Sherry McDonough, new victim Allie Kurtz.
It will never heal all wounds, and a guilty verdict, obviously we're pleased with it, but it doesn't bring her back. And it doesn't bring the other 33 back. So we're always going to live with that hole in our heart.
Jerry Boylan was found guilty of one count of misconduct or neglect of ship officer, a pre-Civil War statute also known as seaman's manslaughter. Boylan could get 10 years when he's sentenced February 8th. McDonough says,
I'll never get over it. She was so special. They all were special people. Yeah. They all were unique and adventurous, and they'll be missed.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Universities of Wisconsin is out with a $32 million workforce development plan. It's the system's attempt to recover money Republicans cut from state universities in the state budget. The budget lets the universities recover the money if it's spent on workforce development and not diversity efforts. Republicans are also holding up pay raises for faculty and staff until Wisconsin universities cut diversity spending. State lawmakers considering spending taxpayer money on American Family Field have some more to think about after taking a tour of the Brewers Stadium. The bill that passed the assembly would spend more than $500 million in public money. But for now, there aren't enough votes to pass the Senate. Governor Evers says he would sign a bill if it were to pass in the legislature. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The delusions of grandeur have come to an end, as has the campaign of former Vice President Mike Pence. You know, people didn't care for him so much. I don't know why. You know, January 6th, they just wanted to hang him at the gallows, Dom.
I mean, at least they knew his name. You know, there's no such thing as bad PR, Crudy.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows around 39 tonight, under mainly cloudy skies, winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. High of 48 tomorrow, 42 tomorrow night, chance for scattered showers.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I had tweeted out after the second game of the year, a hot take. I said, by the end of the year, we will see Braden Locke as the starting quarterback of the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, Mr. Mordecai broke his hand. And by golly, not the way I thought it would happen, but Braden Locke has become the starting quarterback.
And another finger on the monkey's paw curls.
Where did you get that one?
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat 988 to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. 988, here to support you. Sponsored by Wisconsin DHS.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Who could be against that? The people, it turns out. While some families might want exclusive private schools, their claim that they have no choice is a fraud. As one GOP legislator put it, his rural county has, quote, private schools, a parochial school, a charter school, and a large homeschool community. That is choice, he rightly notes. Who are the privatizers? National billionaires like the Koch brothers. And in Texas, we have Tim Dunn and Ferris Wilkes, two messianic oil billionaires from West Texas who double as proselytizers of a toxic theology of Christian nationalism. They are the money gods of school privatization. Indeed, the governor, more than half of Texas House members, and every Republican state senator are financially hooked on their oil money. This is Jim Hightower saying, no matter what slogan the privatizers masquerade behind, their goal is simply to defund public schools and divert our education dollars from the common good to their corporate and theological academy. Ask yourself, what would Jesus do?
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, as we've been talking about, the the trial today, quite entertaining from what I've read. Basically, the temper tantrum, giant S show, chaotic attack testimony that you would expect. Because, look, he's already guilty. And if I'm the judge, I don't even make a warning. I just say, keep talking, make yourself, because ultimately the judge is going to decide the penalty. So let him continue to attack and attack, because it's only going to cost him more in the long run. I mean, it's kind of, I guess politically it's a smart thing to do, but from a business standpoint, really stupid. Unless they're trying to set up an appeal down the road of saying, you know, I don't know. It's an interesting defense. I hate you, Judge, is an interesting defense. And here to share some thoughts on, well, the top stories of the day, including the Trump Kea victim testimony. I've asked our good friend Rich Ojeda to come talk with us. Rich is the host of Ojeda Live, a nightly hit on Facebook and YouTube. Weeknights, 8:30 p.m., just before our program. Rich, thanks for taking time for us.
Anytime, Rick. Always enjoy being on your show. I got a meme that I saw that I want to say real quick, okay?
Hit me.
It says, is anyone else finding it ironic that the family who has branded themselves as the smartest businessmen in the history of the world are now claiming that they know nothing about the family business as their defense in court? Art of the deal. Yeah. Art of the steal. I mean, you know, think about that. I mean, they claim to be literally the gurus in business. And the only thing that they've really done is fleece people and lie and cheat and steal. So, yeah, that's where we're at here.
Yeah, but, you know, I look at it, you know, the reality is he's already guilty. The judge already found them guilty because through some, I don't know if it was a choice. I had heard they missed the deadline, but through some bizarre way, they ended up getting a bench trial. And it was a very short kind of thing where the judge decided, yeah, you're guilty. You committed fraud.
Well, I mean, Elena Haba supposedly checked the box bench trial and not jury trial. And because of that, Judge Engeron looked at all the evidence and basically come to the conclusion that, yes, they're guilty. So now it's all about how much they're going to be required to pay back. And once again, I know that I've already heard one number in just a couple banks, something like $168 million. Yeah. And that's not the insurance companies. There's other banks. I mean, there's the possibility that they could shut down literally over 50 LLCs because everything that Donald Trump does goes under LLCs. They're going to be ran out of New York. And to be honest with you, it couldn't happen to a better family. They're garbage.
Do you find it ironic that the Republicans are attacking the Biden family for having LLCs and shell corporations and all the things that they were doing when Trump has done the same thing only on steroids?
Well, isn't it ironic that they're claiming that Hunter Biden is the most corrupt person ever, and yet Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump made literally about $460 million while working for the government? And of course, you know, now $2 billion account that he gets paid like $50 million a year to manage. I mean, you know, yeah, that's it. You know, they're throwing stones. They're basically saying, don't look over here, look over there at the Bidens. And it's absolute garbage. I tell you, it breaks my heart because by now, I really believe that the majority of America would have woken up by now and had realized that they had been duped And once again, you know, it's you know, he's still in this, and yeah. he shouldn't be.
And look, I look at this testimony, and, you know, I had a bunch of friends say, oh, he's toast now. I'm going, I don't think so. This testimony plays to his base, plays to people who have been, they feel have been wronged by the system. He's a guy who's standing up and calling out the system. He doesn't care. He's a daredevil. And yeah. you go, you know,
I mean, it's sad. It's sad that, you know, he's been able to continue going down this path and to continue with the hold that he has on so many people in this country. It's really sad. And like, you know, I think that Joe Biden should blow this next election out of the park. And right now we're listening to polling that says that, you know, literally he's behind in a few key states. And, yeah. and that just, that bothers me. That makes me feel like nobody's paying attention.
And I got to tell you, there's part of me that goes, I think I want this. I think I want people to believe Biden's so far behind, because I think maybe it wakes people up to the reality of that we better stop our petty bickering. We better put down the divisive, you know, stuff that tears us apart and get on the same page, because what could happen in 2025 is much worse than any of the things that we disagree with on the Democratic side at all.
Well, we already know that Donald Trump has already started to put together a list of those that he's going to go after if he is elevated to the presidency ever again. And I mean, we're talking about John Kelly, Bill Barr. We're talking about General Milley. I mean, literally, Donald Trump is literally saying, if I win, we're going to go after these people. And literally, that's the mentality that Donald Trump has. And what's sad is that there's a lot of people out there that they eat that up. They think that's great. Yeah. They think that, you know, for the first time ever, we've got a president that speaks the way we do. Well, let me tell you something. If you've got a president that speaks on a third grade level, that's not who you want. It's not who you want.
No, I say it all the time. I want someone a lot smarter than me leading this country. And clearly, he was not that guy. But here's the thing, and I come back to this. You know, this victim card that he's playing does play to people. It plays to their sympathy. He's somehow, this guy is now framed himself as the underdog, that he's fighting, he's the victim, there's this witch hunt that's coming after him, and he's doing this all for you, the little guy. He cares about you poor working stiffs so much that he's willing to make millions of dollars while he was in the White House and try and get away with cheating people. But he's fighting for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the sad part is, you know, I come from Southern West Virginia. And actually, I live very, very close to Eastern Kentucky when I was growing up. That's where I'm from. And I'm going to tell you that it breaks my heart that that's literally his base. I mean, they literally believe that Donald Trump was sent by God. You know, now Donald Trump isn't even hiding it when he goes to these events and stuff. I mean, he's screaming the slur words like crazy. And I mean, at the end of the day, you're thinking, well, are these Christians listening to him, you know, use his vulgarity? They don't care. They don't care. And it's really, really sad, because I will tell you that if Donald Trump is elevated, and I'm hoping that he's not even in this race, I believe that he's going to get found guilty in both Fannie Willis and the January 6th. But my thing is that if he is elevated to the presidency ever again, that's it for us. We will never have another presidential race. We will be done. We will become a dictatorship. You know, and I guarantee you that if Donald Trump ever gets in that position, the first thing he's going to say is, well, I get two more terms because I was cheated out of my first one. That's what he's going to do. He will never, ever leave. He will die in that position. And the truth is I want him to die in a different place. I want him to die in prison, because that's where he deserves to be.
But here's the thing. I mean, do you think the American people, and I know this is kind of, I know this is a dumb question, so I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you think the American people would tolerate that? I mean, you know, we've had some norms of, you know, two terms, that's it. I think I know the answer.
I mean, think about it. Will they tolerate? I mean, right now, they're literally tolerating Donald Trump now, to the point where they're, polling is showing that he's moving ahead. So apparently somebody's tolerating his garbage. You know, at the end of the day, that's why, you know, I keep telling people, educate yourself. You know, I mean, I do my show, you do your show. We're trying to wake people up. And, you know, the sad part about it is a lot of people don't want to be woke up. There's a lot of people out there that believe that Donald Trump hates the people that we hate, and therefore we're standing with him.
Yeah.
And that's where it's at. It's pure racism. And it drives me crazy when I see Hispanics for Trump, Latinos for Trump. I mean, Donald Trump has also said that if he is elevated to the presidency again, he's going to have the biggest, basically, kick people out of this country. And who do you think he's going to kick out? He's going to kick out the people that are light brown, the people from Mexico, the people from the Caribbean. He's going to get rid of all those people. And he's telling everybody what he's going to do.
No, you got that. And he'll be on the retribution tour. He's going to get revenge.
Yep.
And people like you and me better look out. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show. We're with Rich Ojeda. Rich is the host of Ojeda Live, a nightly 8:30 p.m. hit on Facebook and YouTube. You can check that out. He's also the chief cook and bottle washer over at the Turn Left Pack, helping to get Democrats elected to office to help, well, I don't know, keep our democracy. You can check that out at turnleftpack.org. Got to get your thoughts on the looming shutdown. I mean, we're ticking down to, what is it, the 17th of November? Funds run out. So again, we're doing the ticking bomb thing, and it doesn't look like anything's going to get done this week. So it should be an interesting adventure next. Any thoughts?
I mean, I look for the Republicans to say that, you know, the only way we're going to fund the government is if you give Donald Trump a path. You know, I don't know. I nothing would surprise me. And, you know, at the end of the day, we really do need to stop just kicking the can down the road. And this is another reason why it's important that we need to absolutely not only take back the House with a vengeance, but we need to increase the lead that we have in the Senate so that no matter what, we can guarantee that the legislation that we want can pass both houses. I mean, we need ethics in the Supreme Court. I mean, there's just so much stuff that we need in this country. And we need people that are willing to solve problems, not kick them down the road. And that's all the that's all the Republicans are doing. Remember, the Republicans have been in charge now for 11 months. They haven't pushed and passed a single bill. All they've done is go after a private citizen. And that's where we're at. So I think that people should wake up and realize that the Republicans don't exactly get things done. That's why we need to replace every one of them in Congress with a Democrat, and we can finally get stuff done.
There you go. But, you know, I look at this. I look at this again. You know, we're butting up against running out of money. I got to shut the government down, which didn't go well for Republicans last time around. But, you know, they've got a Democrat in the White House they can blame it on. But I only see a couple paths forward. One of them is you're going to have to pass a clean bill that'll get us at least into next year, which shouldn't be that difficult if you had sane, rational people, but you clearly don't on the Republican side. What the Republicans want is they want massive across the board cuts while accepting defense, and Democrats aren't going to go for that. Or the thing that I'm curious your thoughts on this kind of what they're calling a laddered CR that the speaker floated last week, which would cut funding to certain agencies as it got longer. You know, so we would, you know, we'd cut food stamps, you know, for children and starve kids out. And then we'd go after Granny and, you know, kick her to the curb. And then we'd work our way through government attacking, you know, people who are the most vulnerable first, because clearly they're the ones who are gonna hurt the most. And then work your way up to rich people. I'm curious, which of the three do you think can get done?
Well, you know, the sad part about it is we know that Trump's tax breaks for the rich account for a quarter of our national debt. But make no mistake about it, the Republicans aren't going to do anything to stop those. So they're looking at Social Security, Medicare. They're looking at free lunch programs. I mean, that's what the Republicans want to do. They want to hurt people. And at the end of the day, you know, that's why it's important that people get off their backsides, get involved in these races. Voting is not the only thing that you got to do. You got to make phone calls. You got to make sure you drive people to the polls. Because, I mean, once again, these guys, they're going to go after the people that will be hurt the most. They're going to go after the free lunch programs. They're going to go after Social Security. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, there's so many people that I know from West Virginia that should have retired already, but their retirement got stolen from them because their coal operator filed for bankruptcy. So now they had to file for Social Security, and they're living off of that. And it's barely making it from payday to payday. Barely. They're eking out a living, and nobody wants to live like that. But make no mistake about it, the powers that be right now that are in charge of the House of Representatives want to cut even that. And anybody out there, you can act like you're a Trump supporter, and if all you're doing is struggling with Social Security, you don't even know what you're doing to yourself. You're shooting yourself in the daggone foot. Fact.
Yeah, there's part of me, and you know, I remember in 2016, I was handing out literature on Election Day for a friend who was running as a Democrat in a highly, highly red area. And I was handing out literature to people in line, and there was one guy that caught my attention. And he was all decked out in Trump stuff. Had the hat, the shirt, the flag. I mean, he was a walking Trump billboard. But he was dragging along an oxygen tank. He was probably in his late 50s. A guy who was on Social Security disability. And I remember saying to him, going, you do realize that these people want to destroy what is keeping you alive. And you know, there's part of me, and this is the bad part of me. This is the part I don't like, Rich, that you go, maybe we give them what they want. Let them destroy all these programs and let these people suffer. But here again, I know good people are going to suffer in the process as well. So I struggle with it. But there's part of me that goes, you get what you deserve.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's kind of like, you know, when somebody comes to me and gives me this big, long sob story, the first question I want to ask is, who'd you vote for? Because if you voted for Donald Trump, good, you deserve it. You knew they were going to take it. Yeah. You knew that they would rather cut your food stamps than they would ever do anything to go back on the tax breaks for the rich. So, I mean, once again, if you're not smart enough to really start to pay attention, then, yeah, you're probably going to get a rude awakening if this ever happens. You know, I talk about the dictatorship that Donald Trump wants. You know, if we go down this path, I'm telling you right now, it's going to hurt a lot of people. And a lot of those people are going to be the ones that fought the hardest for Donald Trump. If you think that a man who owns his own 747 and goes to bathroom on a golden toilet needs you and your neighbors to get together and put your nickels together to support him, if you believe that, then you're too stupid. And the truth is we should actually have an exam that would at least make sure somebody's on a certain level to be able to even vote.
let's not go down that path, Rich. I want to get your thoughts real quick. We're going to bang through a couple of things. The Virginia legislature, the big Tuesday election coming up. Which way do you see the Virginia legislature going?
Well, you know, I really hope that the Democrats show out. Understand, you know, everybody needs to be thinking about Roe v. Wade, things like that. You know, the governor is. You know, we know that they're going to, you know, hurt people if they stay in power. So let's hope that, you know, Virginia can flip blue.
I want to get your thoughts on the abortion issue in Ohio, the constitutional issue there. How do you see that going? Polling has it passing.
Do what now?
Polling has the issue passing. Any thoughts?
Passing on what?
Making basically Ohio a Roe state.
Well, I mean, I hope so. But I think that would happen in every single state. For the most part, we pretty much know that people support Roe v. Wade.
Right.
I mean, one of the heat rounds that the Republicans are taking right now is their stance against and basically making it illegal in many states. It has really come out to harm them. So I'm hoping that people wake up. I hope that, you know, it becomes a Roe state. I think that... you know, that's one of the reasons why we got to stay in this fight. And hopefully we can, you know, make it across the country again, put it back and then solidify it.
Lastly, does Mississippi get a Democratic governor?
Man, you know what?
The big one.
When it comes to Mississippi, you know, it's hard to tell. You know, it's I don't know, man. It's tough. Let's hope. I don't know. I really don't know.
There you go.
It's hard to tell. With Mississippi.
I was hoping for a positive yes.
It's like the poorest states that have the least education are the ones that literally vote Republican. West Virginia is like it too. West Virginia and Mississippi are 49th and 50th in almost everything. And people don't realize that if it wasn't for other states, you would starve. So maybe you may need some different leadership. I don't know. It's just me.
Just a thought. But, Rich, I appreciate the time. Great stuff, man.
Thanks, brother. Always a pleasure.
Our good friend Rich Ojeda. Make sure you check out his Facebook and YouTube live program every weeknight, 8:30. Ojeda Live. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. Gonna take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. This day in labor history, the year was 1982. That was the day that 11 women graduated from the New York City Fire Academy. They were the first women firefighters ever to serve in the city of New York since the department was founded in 1865. The inclusion of women firefighters did not come easily in New York. In 1977, for the first time, women were allowed to apply to be firefighters. Although many women had passed the written part of the exam, they were continually denied employment because they failed the physical test. The women sued, citing discrimination. One of the leaders of the suit was applicant Brenda Berman. The federal district court in Brooklyn sided with the women. Not everyone was happy about the decision. A group of demonstrators came to City Hall before the graduation with signs reading, quote, "I want to be saved by firemen." The Uniformed Firefighters Association also challenged the ruling. They tried to block the ceremony in the courts, arguing that training requirements had been changed to accommodate the women. Despite the legal challenges, the ceremony went on as scheduled. In his speech, Mayor Ed Koch said, quote, "As all of us have known all along, bravery and valor know no sex." After the graduation, the controversy over women firefighters continued. The women often faced sexual harassment on the job and vilification on the editorial pages of the city's newspapers. Bumper stickers reading, quote, "Don't send a girl to do a man's job," could be seen on the car bumpers of many male firefighters and at the city's firehouses. The women firefighters stood up to the harassment, testifying before the city council and holding street demonstrations to bring awareness to the discrimination.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Got an email, and interesting point. You know, could it be that people think the economy is not doing well because the help that they were getting that helped during the pandemic was taken away? You know, could it be that child tax credit did really help people and help them afford things that they can't now afford? Could it be that the Republicans, and along with, you know, Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin, who denied the extension of the child tax credit and allowed it to expire, could that be part of it? And the answer, yeah, that's a big part of it. And they did it specifically because of that. Now, there were a couple people like Manchin who were like, well, we don't want people to get too dependent on government. You know, we don't want people who are going to get too used to eating. You know, because those kids, they may get used to it. And for me, I got to tell you, right before Christmas to have it expire is like the cruelest of all. I mean, that was, for me, I understand Republicans are going to do this. And you know, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, yeah, put them in that camp too. I understand that's their ideology. We need people to be hungry so they'll work harder and they'll pull themselves up by their bootstraps or whatever nonsense they tell themselves they believe. But the cruelest part is what I said, you know, from the beginning. When I was a kid growing up in the projects, and look, you know, our cupboards were bare, you know, at the end of almost every month. Had you given my mother an extra couple of bucks to make it to the end of the month, to make it easier, to make life a little bit better, that would have been really helpful. But we didn't know, I didn't know any better. I didn't know that there was another way. So it was like This is how everybody lives. This is reality. That at the end of the month, you got to ration throughout the whole month so that you can spread out limited resources for the entire month. You learn to be very creative with limited resources, because this is what poor people have to deal with. But to go, hey, here's a different way, and to introduce the possible and have people go, oh, this is great. And then to yank it away right before Christmas, of course, because that's what Jesus would do. That seems cruelest of all. And I've talked about this myself. I mean, I don't know how I would have responded to that. Anger, most certainly. But who at? And the sad reality is it's the guy who holds the top job a lot of times. Which is why I think you are seeing some of the minority communities who do struggle with higher than average poverty rates, who are having a hard time.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.